It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone. I'm Allura, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we'll be discussing the topic of soulmates with our special guest, Matar. Please join me in welcoming my co-host. Hi, Maureen. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Hey, listen, Maureen, would you do me a favor and introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Yes, I will. Besides doing my housework and stuff like that, I'm an intuitive advisor, and I'm also all the clairs, which we'll get into that later, clairvoyant, clairaudio. I smell, I feel, I have all that stuff going on.
Smell, feel, see, yeah. Hear, taste, see? Yeah.
And I do all that, yeah. And I wasn't going to go through all the wording, but anyway, I'm motivated by good intentions, and I want to make that very clear because I do maintain a remarkable degree of objectivity. So I feel very good about that. I focus on relationships, business, finance, ventures, past lives, and my favorite is the good old-fashioned spiritual development, and I utilize tarot as my main tool.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Steve Frampton. How are you tonight, Steve?
I'm extremely well, thank you, Laura. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm getting over my cold, but doing much better than I did last week. Thanks.
Good.
Why don't you tell us a bit about what you do, too, Steve?
Hey, thank you, Laura. My name is Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium, and I give readings at PsychicAccess.com. I work directly with spirits. I'm very interested in people's life purposes, providing psychic insight. My main passion is connecting with the spirit world, so spirit guides and loved ones that have passed to spirit.
And I'd like to add that I am now dubbing you the psychic because you've done a reading for me and you were just so awesome. I want to tell you that. So Steve is fantastic. Now, in all fairness, I haven't had a reading from Maureen or Jackie, but I believe they're awesome too. So, anyway, thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
Sure. And Jackie Hahn, how are you tonight, Jackie?
Oh, I'm wonderful, thanks. How are you, Laura?
I'm doing well, thanks. What do you do?
Oh, what do I do? How could I summarize that in one sentence?
Not possible.
No, it's not. I'll just give you the cliff notes here.
There you go.
I'm also on Psychic Access as a reader. I do angel readings and healings. I'm also a spiritual coach, so I bring in that element of coaching as well as giving, you know, a reading, because my passion is really about providing as much intuitive guidance as possible in a session, because I don't want to just leave somebody hanging with okay, you're going to meet him on the street corner in a week. It's, you know, what else can you do to prepare? What's the next step? How can you, you know, remove or let go of any, you know, obstacles that are getting in the way? Because a reading really isn't a straightforward cut and dry. There is a lot of elements and pieces that show up in a reading, so I bring all of those things to the surface, so hopefully people don't leave with their head spinning, but it does make sense when they just kind of sit with that and let their consciousness soak it in. So that's what I do, and I love being here, and looking forward to the show.
Good. Well, we love having you.
Thank you.
Sure. And I'm Allura. I also call myself a spiritual coach because I use my abilities to help you understand the nature of reality. And that, in turn, helps you understand why things are happening in your life as they are. Once you understand these things, you are empowered and balanced to make really good decisions in your life and whatever area of your life that you're consulting about. So I use my clairvoyance and various intuitive abilities along with the Native American animal medicine and sacred path cards as a means to assist you. So there you have it, everyone. We all have something to offer. We're all very different, but all really valid and interesting. So whatever mood you're in, you might look up whoever can address those things for you that you're really more inclined to be attracted to for that particular time. So with that, tonight I'm delighted to interview our special guest, Matar. And during the past 26 years, Matar, working as a clairvoyant, tarot reader, numerologist, and trans-channel, has traveled extensively, sharing his extraordinary gifts in seminars and readings throughout North America. Matar, formerly named Paul Norris McLean, a professional trans-channel since 1982, specializes in channeling his clients' own personal guides as well as some of the most beloved master teachers. Each guide has its own powerful, distinguishable character filled with information and love for the client. I've actually personally experienced Matar, and he is so awesome, and I'm actually training with Matar for deep trance channeling. Clients are able to make significant personal connections with all of their guides and are able to experience them as the available supportive friends they are. Matar believes strongly that anyone can learn to develop psychically and spiritually and offers courses that put others in touch with their own greater abilities and higher awareness. To find out more about Matar and his work, please be sure to visit his website at www.matar.com, and I'm going to spell that for you. That's www.M as in Mary, A as in Allen, T as in Tom, A as in Allen, A as in Allen, R as in Robert, E as in Edward.com. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce a call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our show on Intuitive Children last week, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible, so be sure to include others in on our show. We'd love to see you all there. I'm also really excited to announce that we are now simultaneously broadcasting the show on People's TV Network. So with that, excuse me, before we move forward, we do have a question from one of our listeners. Her name is Barbara, and I'd like to answer this for Barbara. She asks this. She says, I have a question regarding twin flames. My boyfriend of 2 years and I recently split apart, and I wanted to know whether we are going to be together again. I've also heard someone say that we were twin flames, but I wanted to know whether that was true or not. Barbara, when it comes to questions like this, it's such a personal nature that we really have to save these kinds of questions for the psychic readings at the end of the show. What we ask for, if you do ask a question, is something that might be general or something that might ask for information that would apply to everybody. So with that, what I'm going to do is we're going to save this for the psychic readings end of the show. That'll be the last part of the show, last 40 minutes or so. And once we've answered all our call-ins, because they wait on the line, we answer their questions as a priority. And any of our chat room people, once all of their questions have been answered, if there's any time at the end of the show, we will definitely address your question for you. Okay? With that, I would like to welcome Matar to our show. And we're so happy to have you with us tonight, Matar. Are you there?
Yes, thank you, Alora. It's wonderful being here and wonderful listening to your so professional explanation.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I am so happy to have you here. You know how special you are to me and how much respect I have for you. So what I'd like to do is, before we begin, would you give us some general background information on soulmates so that we can start off with a basis a fundamental understanding of what soulmates really are according to the guides?
All right, I'll try to keep this as succinct as possible, and thank you for inviting me again on the show.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Well, soulmates is one of the biggest topics that people seem to be interested in, and there's so much information out there from so many different points of view that when I discuss soulmates with people, they may come from a point where they expect it to be defined in a particular way that they may have read about, but there's many definitions. I was listening to the question of the woman that you read the question of, and she was asking about twin flames.
Yes.
Twin flames are described as so many different things, but just to put it in short, and then perhaps you can ask other more detailed things, a soulmate is someone that your being, your spirit, lives in harmony with, can be in harmony with, like sympathetic with, or complementary to. And the difference between one who we would call a soulmate, and I'll describe that a little more if you like, and somebody else, is that a soulmate tends to be a kind of a permanent connection in some form, not necessarily permanent throughout the course of a lifetime, but it might be connected, you might be connected in some way throughout a great part of your eternity, but not necessarily romantically. Soulmates do not have to express themselves romantically, according to the spirits that come through, but they do express themselves with deep, long-lasting, profound intimacy that has a lot of room for forgiveness and a lot of room for unconditional love. On the other hand, other kinds of relationships are about other kinds of growth and are usually based on sort of mutually interdependent needs so that people can find various sort of human needs met, like the needs for security, the needs for emotional fulfillment, the need to have even a place in society and amongst our peers. We need that as human beings, and we seek that instinctively to survive. And it's not that relationships with soulmates does not have elements of that, but it doesn't need elements of that. So when people get together who have needs that are regular human needs, and they're also soulmates, there's often a little bit of a conflict at first to try to get their needs, human needs, met. But if it should fail, then soulmates can still remain in harmony and in love. Other sort of relationships have to almost part in order to get those other kinds of needs met, because we're trying to grow, and that's what helps us grow.
Okay, so relationships are really about growth, including romantic relationships, correct?
Right. So when someone asks about, is this person my soulmate, what they really might be asking is, will I marry this person? Are we going to be together for a lifetime? And that can be very different than a soulmate.
Right.
For example, okay, soulmate. Yeah, can you go ahead, please?
No, go right ahead. That's good. Go right ahead.
A soulmate may not work out in a lifetime relationship as in a marriage, but you would remain connected deeply even if you weren't married and married to someone else. And because of that relationship you have with a soulmate, if you're with somebody, it's very likely that the soulmate who you're not married to can also connect with that person in some way. So you work out a way of being together, not necessarily romantically, that allows your love to be supported, but not necessarily a romantic relationship. So a soulmate doesn't need a permanent marriage relationship in that particular style. Soulmates go in a way beyond that.
That's interesting, which gives you a sense of the nature of love, that it goes much deeper, you know, than, and certainly far beyond it's more expansive than just limiting it to romantic relationships. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Matar, is I know that you and I had spoken about how soulmates are formed. You were talking about collective, like, spiritual particles. That was the best way I can remember it, coming together that are in harmony with each other that eventually individualize and become soulmates. Do you recall talking about that when you and I spoke?
Yes, I do. That is that I didn't want to send everybody tuning out by going into that.
Well, I think that's a good way to start.
Yeah. Yes. Well.
But.
Okay, and I'll try to be again as short as I can. I won't drag it on and on. I can. My mother thinks I've kissed the Blarney, but that works out. That works out well if you're a trans channel, because these spirits use your, you know, your loose tongue to just
yes.
keep on talking.
That's
okay.
Funny.
The well, it does, as you were saying, it really does. Soulmates have to do with love, unconditional love. It may include, but doesn't require, romantic love. And the reason why is because of who we are as souls. Now, at first when the guides explained this to me, I didn't necessarily buy it. It challenged my sense of self, and as you might see coming up. But now I completely accept it. And so I say, I'm proffering this to you for your own hearing. But, you know, the parts of it that you can accept, fine. If you can't, fine also. But this is how it was explained to me.
Yeah.
That every person is a collection of soul particles, and these particles, they're particles of consciousness, awareness, and each of these particles are what we might call the different aspects of ourselves that have varying needs in our life for various physical and spiritual requirements that support us. And at the time of our death, those aspects of our particles, which have fulfilled their intent, they sort of go on to another dimension of learning. They may go on as a singular collective, which is rare, but very often those particles sort of split and join larger bodies of consciousness that have other work to do beyond our work here on the earth. And so that sort of separates off. And those elements are what become, some of those elements where they go off to in these larger bodies are what become our guides if we return here. And they help us advance. Now the other particles, not all of our particles find fulfillment. And so they may seek a return to this sort of dimension, to the earth, and in this dimension, to fulfill themselves. But they may not be able to fulfill themselves in the same collective, because they were already in that collective prior. So what happens is these particles, which cannot further fulfill themselves in your collective, now, meanwhile, you still are, like, let's say, oh, some of your collective went off, so you're missing a chunk, let's say. And that the chunk that wants to come back might need some more chunks. So, but some of those chunks, please forgive my sense of humor.
No, that's good. Okay, I like
but,
it.
Some of those chunks can't come back with you, so they chunk off into other collectives that are also returning, so that they can fulfill themselves. And because those particles are now in other beings, you're connected to them. So, and meanwhile, since you need more soul particles, you draw from the ambient elements of consciousness in the beyond, and those things join you and you incarnate, and in some way you are connected to all those other people that elements of your consciousness go to. And these form your different soulmate relationships, these other people. Now, not every soulmate is a life partner. and not all soulmates are as directly connected with you as others. Some soulmates, they may be more like soul cousins. You may have a sense of family, but you may not be drawn to them as any kind of a life partner or a more intimate partner. And then you have soul siblings, and soul siblings are those people who have similar life paths. Like they may be similar, they may be musicians, they may be your fellow friends who are musicians or comedians or whatever career or interests you have. You may find soul siblings there. And some people mistake soul siblings for soul mates because people who have the same thinking and ideas and pathways as you, you can develop a strong sense of closeness with. But in romantic sort of relationships, those tend to become very asexual, and they don't always work out in some of the same things that people seek a lifetime partnership from. So soul, and oftentimes people get confused. They can be with a soul sibling, and then they find a soul mate. Soul mate is one whom you're more intimate with. Your souls, in essence, are mating rather than being sympathetic and harmonious like soul siblings are. Your soul mates are more integrated. They're more complementary, sort of meet. It's like complementary gears that sort of mesh together like
yes.
this. And so that becomes, those become your soulmates. And you have more than one. You know, and, but if the others are your soulmates, if you happen to meet more than one and you're reasonably spiritually developed.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't include myself there so much.
Yes, you
but
can.
If you are, you find a way to function as a part of your spiritual growth. Without necessarily, you know, inviting too much jealousy or envy
right.
and things like that. And so soulmates are formed like that. And, of course, there's all kinds of other relationships. Soul mother, soul father. The soul fathers and mothers may be your teachers, or some of them may be your guides. Some of them may be people who are teachers for the world, you know. And things like that, and soul masters and all of those things. So the topic of soulmates covers a lot of different kind of soul relationations.
That's
Does that
interesting.
Help
yes.
Anything?
That was excellent. Thank you. That answers a lot of questions, I think, right off the bat. So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
How would, of course, the question on everybody's mind, the one that is of most interest to most people, is the romantic relationship, so the soulmate relationship. How do we recognize our soulmate or a soulmate, since we have more than one relationship, versus soul sibling, which you say some people mistake for soulmate because of similar interests? How would you differentiate between the two? How could we recognize a soulmate?
Well, you can.
Is that a loaded question? I could tell by the sigh.
Well, you can recognize easily someone you have a soul relationship with, but it's harder at first to instantly know whether that's a soul mate instantly because, excuse me, any one of your soul relationships can be so profound, and the instinctive part of our animal sort of humanity wants, and speaking romantically, it wants anybody we feel connected to be the one. You know what I mean? So
yes,
it's
really right.
Hard. But one of the things you can almost always rule out as a soulmate is, now this gets really hard. I mean, this might, people may find this, they may not agree, but this is as I understand it, as taught to me by my teachers, that when you have a very intense, passionate, fiery relationship and a fiery pull to each other that's irresistible and compelling, that's probably not your soulmate. That's probably
oh, wow.
a more karmic relationship, meaning that you have long, unsatisfied, deep needs that are finally met by that other person. And when those needs are met, it's done. See, a soulmate is really never done. In fact, those kind of relationships often have another side to them. They have a and that's as intense as it is and fiery and warm, it can be ice cold or fiery, a fiery, angry storm too. So those relationships tend to swing back and forth. That's probably not a soulmate, but a useful relationship, but probably not one that goes on through life and through many lives even. And those persons, they kind of come and go. Now, that doesn't mean that a soulmate is non-passionate or non-sexual. But very often, it's hard also. So you can generally rule out that intense person as probably not one of your soulmates. And a lot of times, that's what people are looking for first. Or let's say you grew up in a certain way where you never had any of your material needs met. And then you meet someone who's very generous and supportive and wealthy. And you, like, this is the perfect match for you because they want to take care of you. And more, this used to be men trying to take care of women, but more and more, women now are more and more in the workforce and making a lot of money. And now you have a lot of older women with younger men because they can take care of them. a lot of it going on the other way too. And many women are also finding out these people aren't necessarily their soulmates. You know, but there's somebody they feel deeply connected to who meets them at a level of their need. And so, too, these younger men. So these are important people that we've probably been led to. But it's likely that they're not a soulmate. They're likely just someone who is important for us to be with. Now, soulmate, I never recognized my soulmates. They seem to recognize me. I mean, there's a lot of people tell me I'm their soulmate. When someone says that, I don't know what to say. You know, I just really don't. You know, the way I ended up married to a woman I love very dearly is because she persisted longer than the others. So that's the soulmate I ended up with, you know. And so I can recognize people who I feel, for one reason or another, are my soulmates. But the person I chose in life sort of grabbed a hold of me, and I accepted her and embraced her, and I just love her so dearly. So, you know, I don't really try to figure out what a soulmate is. It's just a matter of I feel that person is, and time will tell. So a better person to ask about how to recognize a soulmate is one of my spirit guides or one of your spirit guides. It's more likely it's not a general thing. It's very likely that it's specific to you, that your soulmate may have this or that set of spiritual or physical traits, emotional traits that meet you at the level of soul, and those differ from person to person, even though soul is one thing. But I do have to say one thing that also relates to soulmate about soul. Do I have time to say that?
Sure.
Okay. The soul is, how can I put this? It isn't a romantic, well, you could put it like this. It's a divine romance. And that divinity reveals this. And sometimes people think when one says divine, it means it's, again, asexual or non-intimate or in some way. But what I mean is it's more beautiful than you can figure out. And when you meet ordinary conflicts that everybody always meets and you expand into the level of soul with your soulmate, you find yourself able to embrace a joy, a true joy that could never be reached any other way. And the soul seeks to do that. I lost what I was trying to say, actually.
No, actually, the line you're on is very good. Two important things you said that I've never heard before, that makes sense, is our soulmate, if we're looking for that romantic soulmate or that soul connection, that we need to go inside and consult our own personal guidance as to what our soulmate would, or the traits or the emotional makeup or whatever it is,
yeah.
How our soulmate would best, what our soulmate or whoever would complement us best would be made up of, because each soulmate is kind of tailored to each individual. And that's what I heard when you
yes.
said that. I've never heard that before.
Well, the you other find thing- it. It's like trying to catch dust. You really can't go and catch a soulmate. If you try to grab the dust, it will move out of the way. A soulmate is more like, and not that I did it this way, mind you, but this is how it ended up, is more like if you hold out your hand, something will settle on it. And as much as people say you can create the reality of the relationship you want, I find when people do that, they're projecting their needs and they're not projecting on the basis of an unconditional love. Most of us have conditions that
right.
we're aware of that we need met. That is important, and it's conditional. Soulmates are based on an unconditional love. So I don't know about anybody else, I can't get beyond what my conditions are. In my marriage, I have conditions with a soulmate. Of course, they're never met. But I love her, you know, and my wife. I mean, my background, I did not grow up wealthy, and my wife grew up very wealthy. And right away, you know, I'm a mix, mostly black and Indian, and my wife is Caucasian, and we are from such very different backgrounds. Her, very high wealth, and me, not, you know. But so we have very different outlooks on life and the things we want from life, and everything she was looking for in a man, in her projections, like her dad is her perfect, it would be her perfect soulmate. I mean, would be her perfect projection. And although her dad almost cut her off from her life because of me, he's come to really embrace me and love me as I love him. But it's because Elizabeth and I are soulmates, and soulmates have a way, for some reason, of connecting with people. And because I think her father's her soulmate, too. They have the closest relationship between a father and a daughter I've ever seen. In fact, I'd envied it. And so I didn't try to catch that. And I find that many soul relationships are like that. They kind of fall in your hand. And they kind of force you to let go of our other needs a little at a time to find something greater. Now, I do not have the wisdom to try to do that for myself. I could not have created that. I did not create it. It was a gift. And I think the nature of spirit is to give gifts like that if we stop... if we don't hunt so hard for them, and that's very, very hard for a human being like me to do. In fact, so hard, Elizabeth had to, like, you know, hit me over the head literally 10 years. I don't know.
Well,
I'm paying now, though, I tell you. No, I'm just
that's funny. No, it's because I know that you were involved, and we tend not to look for that sometimes. But I wanted to, you know, and then it'll appear at your least expected, when you least expect it. But you mentioned something that was very important. You said something about divine love, that
right.
you can, when ordinary everyday life comes right. in and you are truly with a soul mate, even though you might have that issue, that you kind of, with your true soulmate, you can work past that and expand yourself into a
yes.
place where it's actually, the way I understood what you were saying is your relationship is even stronger, the bond is even deeper, and it's a joyous kind of thing that you experience, correct?
Yes, and a relationship that isn't a soulmate relationship can evolve into one. Depending on how much you can let go and embrace each other more and more unconditionally. You see these people who, get together sometimes, and all they do is fight, and they're still arguing, fighting when they're old people, you know, not seriously. And you wonder, why are they together? This is so strange. They're soulmates. You know, soulmates are very odd. You know, they don't necessarily look like they should be, much to our, you know, I would have imagined differently. But when I've discovered them, there's something odd about them, but they love each other. They accept each other beyond their needs for the other one to be what they want them to be. Now, we hear this stuff all the time, but it's really kind of a miracle that happens. And it's because consciousness, these particles of consciousness, no matter whether it's someone you're already connected to because they've been a part of you or not, soul needs to get along with all parts of itself. The elements of consciousness need to get along with all parts of itself in some form. So even if you are different, you're not initially related at the soulmate level, if you come together in a relationship and you have enough to get a start on that relationship, it can develop into soulmate relationships because the particles of consciousness want to grow towards love. And if you let it, it can become a soulmate relationship and you are becoming a part of each other.
Oh, wow. That's really neat. Well, I have a question then about twin flames. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what a twin flame or twin soul is?
Well, I think some people, by twin flame, pardon me, I have to take a sip of water.
No, that's fine.
I think by twin flame, I think many people mean one who is perfectly matched for you, meaning that the elements of their consciousness, of their soul, are so matched for you that it's really an almost perfect fit. But according to what my guides would call, what most people call the twin flames, soul twins. And now, soul twins are different. Soul twins are like a coin. And you know how a coin has two sides. One face faces out, and the back side faces the other direction. So they're meant to both be a part of each other, but they face in a very different direction than each other. And if they turn around to face each other, they will repel, like two same sides of a two same poles of a magnet. You almost need an opposite to attract, not the same. A twin flame or soul twins, as my guides call it, need to be on the other side of the planet from you in order to grow. It's the element of your consciousness, the elements of your consciousness that was so unable to function when you were one that it has to be as far from you as possible. Now, in fact, because you're both soul and soul is all one, you are parts of each other, but soul has many, many elements. It is a great monad, a great God being, a monad, the all that is. And the all that is, as I understand it, transcends itself. It isn't static. It isn't permanently the same. I think because human beings, we have difficulty understanding the nature of infinite. We think of what is infinite as complete because we want to be complete, so we project the infinite must be complete. But if it was complete, it would be static. It wouldn't be growing. So my guides explained that the infinite is transcendent. It continually and throughout existence transcends itself. And some of the ways it transcends itself is through us. As we develop and transcend or raise our nature, so too does the spirit of the universe transcend itself. So we're really not, according to my guides, and I believe it, going back to the oneness. We have come out from the oneness to expand further. And in these soul twins are not about, they need to be, rather, they're not about being together. They need to be projected in different arenas. So if a soul, your soul twins are very likely to be those persons who you think you hate, actually, but they're just like you and everybody can see it but you. That's a soul twin. You do not want
to. So one of the misconceptions about soul twins is that they're that perfect match, you know, like the two of you together make a whole. That's not the case. What you're saying is, in order, even though you all, both are of the same soul or the same material or the same, you come from the same origination point, I'm not sure how to put this, you really, in order to grow, cannot be together. You would repel each other. Right. And that would be the last person you should be with. That's what you're saying, correct?
Right, in that sort of relationship. And the lesson may be you have to find a way to survive one of your soul twins if you meet them without, you know, killing each other. Because that's a joke.
That is funny.
Because that might be the lesson there, but it is not for a romantic relationship. On the other hand, because somebody is so much exactly like you, that could be a twin and you can think they are the one, but then you might wonder, why isn't this working out? I mean, we're the same person. And and many times in soul twins, where one mistakes the person for their soulmate and the other one doesn't agree, let's say, it's very likely that you are very exactly matched in terms of what you are, but you cannot function in a sort of romantic or more intimate kind of relationship, and one person knows it and maybe the other one doesn't. And that might explain people that just chase this man or this woman because they're convinced they're the right one. That's what I thought my wife was, because they're convinced the right one. But as I got to know her more, we're nothing alike. Opposite attracts. We just love each other.
That is so funny. But you do love each other. Yeah, I see that.
Together. And they may both even may want to, but for some reason they just can't do it. You know, and that could be a soul twin or a twin flame.
That's interesting. Hold that thought for a moment.
You just can't do it.
Matar, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to take a break for a commercial. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com?
Welcome back to PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. We're speaking with Matar. Matar, thank you for being with us. I have another question for you, and that is, do we choose to be with certain soulmates before we're actually born?
Very good question. No. No, that is my answer.
Very simple answer.
We have no choice. We are magnetically pulled to as entities to those who serve our growth. If we had a choice, I mean, tell me, did you have a choice?
I'll say I made some poor choices.
That say we have, we choose our parents. I didn't choose my parents. They must have been right for me. You know, I mean, it's very, to me, it's very obvious. Now, people can go along and say, well, later, looking back, I must have chosen my parents because the things I learned were the things I've discovered I need to have learned. But we didn't consciously choose those things. I think that, and this is one thing that I took to my guides, because I firmly believe this anyway. Maybe they just agree with me, but I find my guides and I, you know, we have a lot of disagreements about the place that we agree. And they confirm this for me. We don't choose. They describe choice to me like this. They said that if you are speeding and a cop pulls you over and they say you have a choice, pay the ticket or go to jail. You know, that's not really a choice. You know, see, the one with the power controls your choices.
That's,
you know,
right.
They don't say you choose this or choose that. So in other words, we don't have the power, the awareness sufficient to choose. Our consciousness attracts us with what we need. Our unconsciousness or the power of spirit greater than ourselves fixes it. And although others may say differently, I accept that they say differently, but that's what I believe and that's what I've discovered to be true.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is it absolutely essential to be able to be a complete and whole person as an individual before having a quality relationship with another? And what I mean is, you know how some of us, like you say, we meet other people to meet our needs, and we may not realize that's why we want to be with certain people. But in order to be a truly happy couple, do you find that it's really essential for people to become whole as individuals before, you know, be able to stand on their own two feet, take responsibility for their own selves, their own lives on different levels of their being before joining with another and growing with another in order to really have a long-lasting, happy relationship?
Well, you can grow in a relationship or outside of one. You can grow by yourself or you can grow in a relationship. People grow either way. I wouldn't say it's necessary to have grown, because we're always growing. I mean, if we grow eternally, what level within an eternity is sufficient to have a partner? You know what I mean?
That's true. I mean, that's a good point.
If you take 9 from 10, it leaves 1. If you take 9 from 1,000, I mean, 9 from infinity, it's infinity. If you take 20 billion from infinity, it's infinity. At what stage are you, if love is unlimited and eternal, at what stage do you deserve love? If it's finite thing, you can say, okay, I've reached this far. But if we're talking about something infinite, there is no defined state that meets the criteria for having a relationship. Even
actually,
a soulmate
good.
Relationship.
I like the way you answered that. And I guess, like you say, there are different levels. I would say that one who is not kind of tried, or one who is not, who a person who might be stagnating or not, or as an individual, or not really trying to grow as an individual, who looks for another to make them complete, might become dependent on that person. But you're right, they would still grow. So I see your point. Any right. relationship can promote growth until it no longer promotes growth, whatever stage of life you're in.
Well,
and
there's
that's how I understand what
a
you're
term
saying.
That in modern psychology, I think that they call mutually interdependent.
Yeah.
And a lot of the spirit teachers I know think we kind of have it wrong about, what's this term where one is too dependent on the other? Or they're mutually
codependent.
You know, they sort of poo-poo this idea of codependency because what they say is that every culture and in every era sets up what they believe is appropriate at that time. But it changes from era to era. Currently, it's now we're all independent and we get together as totally complete people, and then we have a relationship. That's the new standard, the new model. They essentially say bunk. You have a relationship, however you have it, codependent, interdependent, whatever it is, you guys have to work it out. And naturally, it's better for us on the level of our egos, human, on the level of our instinctual drives. It's better to have relationships that work. But it is not possible always to choose a relationship that is at the level of somebody not being a little dependent on the other. And someone can be very dependent on the other, and it may be totally right. No, and or it could be wrong. That the definition does not require you to be complete. There isn't a complete. There's just two people that meet at the place they meet, and they need to grow from there, maybe towards greater functioning. But I have personally, I don't think I've ever reached a place that was so self-sufficient that I said, "Yep, now I'm ready." I think what many people feel is that they want to address the needy parts of themselves because those needy parts have gotten them hurt. See, and they want to do that before they do it so they don't get hurt again. But if they had no... Yes, am I gone?
No, you're still here.
Okay, but if we didn't have needs, we wouldn't even want a relationship.
So right, that's
one
true.
Means we have needs. We need it. So, and I'm of the mind, I have to ask my guides, that we need relationships for the most part to grow. Some people don't, but probably most people do. Very few people are born monks. The trouble with priesthood societies is that everybody who wants to be a priest probably shouldn't be a priest. There are very few people who are born to be monks. That's their service. And a lot of people try to be who aren't. So I think most of us grow through relationships and need relationships, and we're all a little bit needy. And I look twice at somebody that says they've reached that point where they don't need anybody, and so now they're ready for their relationship.
Right. Okay. I like that. I've never heard that kind of an answer before to that question. We are going to have to wrap up very in about a couple minutes. So I want to ask you, you are publishing a channeled book on soulmates and twin flames, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Can you give us the name of the book and where people can purchase it?
I had to run over and get it because I don't even remember the name of it. It's a lot of books.
Yeah, that's okay. Go right ahead.
Okay, it's The Master's Guides to Love, Relationships, and Soulmates. And yes, that's The Master's Guides to Love, Relationships, and Soulmates. It's by Matar, and you can find it at Amazon.com. As
excellent.
Well as six or seven other books.
And I'm sorry,
the credit
Amazon.
For these books
com
doesn't go
else?
To me, it comes to my assistant who's compiled all this. And the channeled work is the spirits. I just get to put my name on it.
Right. Okay. So all of this book is completely channeled. Now, Matar read quite a bit of it to me last night. It is so interesting, the different points of view of the different guides and from different places and different levels. So I think you'll find it extremely interesting. I want to get the book myself. And it's also available on psychicaccesstalkradio.com's a guest profile page for Matar. So if you're interested, please be sure to visit either Amazon.com or PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under Matar's profile page, and you'll find it there. Matar, I want to thank you. The time has just totally flown by. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. I have so much respect for your knowledge, your integrity, and I appreciate you sharing your insights with us tonight, your points of view. I want to thank you for being here with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Laura, and thank you all for this time. I loved being here, and it's just, and even those of you who I didn't get to talk to in the background, I think Maureen and Steve and Jackie, is that right?
Yes.
Of course,
you, thank you.
Alora, just well, when you were just talking in the background in the commercial break, it just I just felt so much love. in your little words. It's you sound like an incredible group of people, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being with us, Matar. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, and you as well. Happy New Year.
You can find out more about Matar at www.matar.com. You can also find out more about him on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. I would like to give out the number for our free readings when that comes up. We'll be starting those at 9:20, but if you have pen and paper, 9:15 or so, I'm sorry, do call in starting at 9:15. And the number is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. That brings us to the section of the show where we make our announcements. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn more about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. You'll find a myriad of subject matter pertaining to spiritual development, psychic development, and things of that nature that will interest you there. If you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. You heard us all introduce ourselves at the beginning of the show. All of our psychics are like that. We're all very unique. And each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me personally and let me know that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics there. I, for one, enjoy working with Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a very credible and reputable psychic site with high standards of integrity, so our reputation is safe. You'll find all of the co-hosts here on the Psychic View on psychicaccess.com, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us there at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to see you there. We'd love to give you a reading. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more details, please be sure to visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Also, please join me, Allura and Anaya Barrera, traditionally trained Mescalero Apache medicine man, a gentleman who has been on psychicaccesstalkradio.com twice as our guest, for a full day of discovery in Punta Gorda, Florida on May 7th of this year. During this native spiritual journey within, it's a workshop. You'll experience the native culture, rituals, ceremonies, drumming, and spiritual journeying. You'll learn about your personal animal totem and its purpose in your life. You'll also personally experience the effects of drumming and understand the nature of sacred sounds. Join us as you empower yourself on the spiritual journey within. I will be attending the workshop myself and would love to see you there. Seating is limited to 20 people. So if you're interested in more information, please do call Amanda at Papillon at 941 area code 205-2800. The workshop is called Native Spiritual Journey Within, and again, the number to call is area code 941-205-2800. You can also find more information at www.papillononline.net. That's P as in Paul, A, P as in Paul, I, L, L as in Lee, O as in Oscar, N as in Neil, online.net. If you enjoy our show here on psychicaccesstalkradio.com, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and to listen to the Psychic View. There's something for everybody here, so please spread the word. We appreciate your support. The call-in number again for free readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. And with that, I would like to turn to our wonderful co-hosts, starting with Steve. Hi, Steve. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Laura. Thank you. The show is absolutely fascinating.
You liked it. I did, too. You really introduced some new concepts that I'm going to have to think about. That stretches me.
Yeah, and it explains a lot.
It really does, doesn't it? I was thinking the same exact thing, thinking, no wonder.
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, so that's what happened.
Exactly. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking the same thing. Have you experienced many soulmate connections yourself, do you think?
Yeah, I have, and I've had experiences in the past with you know, really deep karmic relationships that were not always easy, but that were surrounded by lots of spiritual signs. I remember once really being very, very keen on somebody and going past this person's house, and there was an old vintage car right outside the door with my initials on it. And then when I went back to my place, there was another vintage car, the same but a different color, outside my apartment, with this other person's initials on, and just all kinds of interesting signs. But it turned out to be a really good friendship and a lifelong friendship, but not more than that. It was too troublesome. But
you managed to connect on a friendship level. And yeah. I think that's really interesting, because Matar was saying that, you know, you may not necessarily be with that person romantically, but a soulmate might be one that you might be friends with or work out some other sort of personal relationship with. I thought that was interesting. And
very
I like how you mentioned the synchronicity, you know, that kind of tells you where the universe is telling you that this person is important for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Start a relationship with them.
Yeah, and we learned a lot from each other, but it wasn't meant to be a romantic relationship. It was meant to be a friendship. And you could just, I always think in life, you know, spirit do give us signs, but when a situation is very difficult, it's a sign that it's not necessarily the right path for us. And you often find that with relationships. And I realize that I have a number of soulmates that they're, you know, just as your guest was saying, there isn't one soulmate.
Yes.
It's just fascinating. But spirit do give us signs about everything if we're open to them, and we stay alert, and we recognize those signs. We'll start to pick up on the signs and symbols that spirit used to give us different messages.
Excellent. I agree. That's what I find. And there's also signs that it's ended. I think we have the mentality that once we're in, especially a romantic relationship, it has to be forever. And one of the things I'm learning through my life experience, at least for me, is that's not necessarily so. That may or may not be, but for the time, you've learned something from that relationship, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think that's key. Jackie, I wanted to ask you, do you think does our soul split when we incarnate on Earth, or do we keep every part of it? And I thought it was interesting, Matar's perspective on that, or the guide. So I want to ask you your feeling, or maybe it's changed at all after hearing Matar, what you think about that.
Yeah, it was interesting because listening to him speak, I mean, it's, you know, I may have to re-listen to this.
I know. Me too. I learned a lot.
It's very deep. And if you know, steer off in another direction, like, you'll miss it, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, if anything, I felt he confirmed what I sensed as well. Again, I can't quote him on his exact words, but it was that there's, he used different, you know, I don't know if it's a particle, but I personally, my belief is that, you know, our soul is, it's vast, you know, and there are a lot of different elements to it that I believe I don't believe we take our whole soul with us. I think it's meant to, God, I don't even know how to put this into words. It's so weird, but
it's too vast. I know. It's huge.
It is. The soul, I mean, it's an amazing, it's who we are, you know?
Yeah.
But I do believe that when we incarnate, we come here, that, you know, when he was saying about soulmates, you know, different people that show up, and, you know, doesn't mean it's a intimate relationship or somebody you would marry, but I do believe that part of our soul connects with a part of their soul. Yet, you know, in essence, are we not all one anyway? But the people that we're drawn to as soulmates, you know, obviously for a reason, I believe that it's because there's a part of us, you know, more so that we can relate to in them. And it could very well be maybe a part of our soul. If
that's interesting.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is mine, because I know you can go from the human level up to the universal level, and we have to stay at the human level to learn so we can grow, but at the same time be mindful of the universal level. That's the dichotomy that sometimes I think we can struggle with these types of questions, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it is, and it's more of like kind of a knowing, like I know this, I sense it, I feel it. But to put it in words and in a language, you know, to communicate it, I get stumbled. You know, I have to like sit with this for a little bit and allow, you know, the you know, kind of the guides and the angels to work through me and put it in a way that I'll be able to reiterate to people. Because logically, I mean, it's beyond the logic. It's not
true. And if we really had all the answers, our lives, including our lives with our mates and so forth, would be perfect. We'd probably stagnate, actually. You know, so these are questions to ponder for our own growth. So, yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Maureen, I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts about the connection between past life gender change and soulmates in this lifetime?
Well, this is my... It's not that I don't believe or whatever, but all I know is what I know. And I do feel, from my own personal experience, well, I guess I'll use this one. My father, the father of my child, well, my grown, beautiful young woman, girl.
Yeah,
This is, I started looking at it this way because of my work that I did, and I picked this person. And I was told I never would have children. And I'd had... been through, medically speaking, they had told me I'd never bear children, and it looked like it was the case, and I'm for a lot of other reasons. But I met this individual who appeared to be wonderful and everything, and I think I've told my story before, and he was mentally ill, actually, but I didn't know that because he was so kind and loving. Anyway,
right.
What I did get from that relationship was pain, violence, and a lot of things, but I got I received my daughter. And
yeah.
She was a gift because I was told never by doctors and surgeries and all that. But what I started thinking about was I had spoken to a wonderful person, and she did a past life regression when I wasn't there. She just met me once, and it was unbelievable. But what she was talking about, it made sense. That, and then I refer back to my daughter's father, is that I must have been a man in a past life with him. And probably mutilated him. Kind of beheaded him as a woman. I don't know. And because, you know, I had to make sense of it because it was such a, it was a scary relationship. Like I said, there was a lot of, it was painful physically. And I, you know, none of, you know, if anybody's out there's ever had that, I had to start thinking about this, like, 20 years, prior to that, it was 20 years ago that I had this woman give me a past life. She did a past life regression, but like I said, she wasn't putting me under, it wasn't face to face, but she brought up some really interesting things about some people in my life that, and I was a man in another time with the present person that she was talking about. He was the woman, and it made a lot of sense to me. Now, I don't feel that we come back as snakes or and then we have a soulmate with a snake, and we're a human. Or yeah, I'm just giving an example, but not
right,
example,
right,
like, out of there, I'm off my mind. But but that's what I feel very strongly about, how we change genders that come over reincarnate into another that we have to learn our lessons from. But
oh, very good. So yeah. Some of it's karmic.
Oh, I absolutely believe. I absolutely yes, I do.
Okay.
I do feel that strongly.
Steve, thank you, Maureen. I appreciate that. Steve, what do you feel we can do? I know Matar felt we just kind of need to kind of be, but what do you feel we can do to attract the best lifelong relationship possible? Or do you have any thoughts on that?
I do, and my thoughts are based upon advice that my guides gave to me. I left a 7-year relationship when I moved to the States, and it was a very difficult decision to leave because I was very much in love, but it was an extremely difficult and stressful relationship. But I took the decision to move on and came to the US, and I dated quite a bit when I moved to the US, but I just couldn't find the right person. And I asked my guides, why is this not working? And they said, they sort of laughed and said, well, firstly, you're trying too hard, as always.
Yeah.
And the other piece of advice they gave to me was that the right relationship for me, that lifelong, wonderful relationship, couldn't come until I learned to love myself and feel complete myself.
Yeah.
And I heard the advice on some level, but not necessarily on the level that I needed to. But after a number of months, I remember waking up one day thinking, "John, I've got a my life's great. I was enjoying my work then, and I was enjoying my friends, my new home, and my hobbies. Had lots to be grateful for." And I gave thanks, and I said to spirits, "Thank you. My life's wonderful. I'm really happy." And then I was having a conversation with my mother, and I said, "You know what, Mum? I'm so happy that if my life is like this until the end of this lifetime, then it's just fine because it's fantastic." And I actually meant what I said.
Yes.
But, you know, I'd said it before and not necessarily truly believed it or meant it. And when I got to that stage and actually made that statement, just a couple of days later, I met my partner, and we're very compatible. We have a fantastic relationship. And it just dawned upon me that I needed to feel complete in myself, and that if I had this expectation that somebody should come into my life and complete me somehow, then it just couldn't be right. I needed to learn to love myself and feel complete myself. And it was at that stage that the right relationship should come. So that's my experience, and that includes the advice that my guides gave me. Don't try too hard. Enjoy life. Don't be anxious about finding the relationship. And be complete in yourself. Learn to love yourself.
I can relate to that. And we're going to break for a commercial. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com. I'm going to...
Every Tuesday night, check out Miami Town Ghost Talk on the People's TV Network and ASPRN.com at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Miami Town Ghost Talk is hosted by Mike and Jeff, the authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, and the co-founders of Miami Town Ghost Tours. Miami Town Ghost Talk will delve into all aspects of the paranormal, from cryptozoology, UFOs, to ghosts and spirits, talking to authors, investigators, and so much more. So be sure to check out Miami Town Ghost Talk every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com and PeoplesTVNetwork.com at PTN Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. I just want to correct myself. That was a PTN, a People's TV Network commercial. I apologize to PTN. Back to you, Steve. I want to comment on what you were saying. I know that Matar mentioned that when it comes to our personal mates, when we look for that we should really consult our guides. And I have to say that I really relate to what you're saying entirely, because the same holds true for me personally, that until I could get to a place to where I was completely happy with myself, such that I'd be fine being by myself probably for the rest of my life, that's when unexpectedly a person who is very spiritually and energetically, compatible with me came in. And I wasn't looking for it. So I agree with you. For me, that's what I need probably to have to grow and to have at least a really good, happy, quality type of relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That was my experience, and I just wish that I had known that on the journey. and, trusted it. You know, we say these things, but we learn through experience, and I've learned mainly through experience. I've read lots of books and had lots of good advice, but still made my mistakes and learned as I went along.
Right.
But my experience is the same as yours.
Right. So I find that to be the best thing for me. But like Batar said, maybe a happy relationship might be a codependent one. I would assume not, because that wouldn't be happy for me. So I kind of liked his
perspective. My partner called me codependent the other day, and I'm pretty happy. So I left the other day and said, "Oh, I put an invoice on the countertop in the kitchen and said, oh, as I'm the codependent one, perhaps you could pay this."
I like that. Well, we do all have needs. We're not entire, right? Not entirely whole. We wouldn't want that other person, but I know what you're saying. So true. For Maureen, I wanted to ask you, what is your view of soulmates on a collective level, on a collective basis?
Right. And, you know, I don't know if everybody knows this, but Carl Jung, I've been always real into
it. Yes.
Stuff, and I just, anything union, I love. And, you know, I may have spoken about this before, but, you know, he was never clear about this has nothing to do with religious belief, but this is a really neat thing. But the Hindu view, which he would talk about, is, and this is how they would say it, our individual egos are like islands in the sea, and we look out at the world and each other and think we are separate entities. But what we don't see is that we are all connected to each other by means of the ocean floor beneath the waters. Now, to me, that is, our souls are all connected. We are collectively all connected in one way or the other. And even, there's so many names and words, like, you know, it can be confusing. I want to listen to the show again too. Your guest was phenomenal. And
thank you.
Very, very, I mean, I loved his sense of humor. But yeah. I do know everything about, I mean, there's so many, you know, soulmates, twin souls, soul flames, and double soul, like you go on, but I think that all relationships, Egger Case also stressed the need for cooperation and the love and tolerance. So he believed also that, and eventually we would become soulmates with all people as we were all one in God. So it's all about our free will, which will allow us to choose whether we will learn our lessons now or wait for them to come back around. And so the unlearned lessons will continue to resurface until completed, but still, you know, like we are all connected, like we are all one in God. And I know some people don't like to hear that word, but I've gotten over that through my, you know, life. But and then we become whole and reunited with the Creator. So really, and another thing is, I feel as well as a lot of times as a group, a group of souls, will also come together in order to create negativity energy.
Yes, yes.
And that, you know, you wouldn't think of that as a soulmate, but yes, that is a collective again. And a lot of times it's the big collective. We could talk about the war, you know, the racial.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
And ultimately, each of these type of souls will need to transcend that negativity and to the appropriate life lessons until they arise. So
that's a really good point. And probably most people don't really think of soulmates that way. I think that's excellent. Thanks for thanks for bringing that forward. That's cool.
Thank you.
I never even thought of that, and I used to wonder why people hated to be together in misery, or they like to be together in misery. I'm sorry. I met some of those people, but you're right, Jackie. What are some of the ways we'll recognize some of our soulmate that? Or that some of the ways that you would feel we would recognize our soulmate.
Well, you know, Laura, I'm wondering if that question, how do you answer that question? I thought it was all bliss and lovey-dovey, but I guess that's all and doesn't exist.
He did say you expand into divine joy when you work through human problems, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the perception of soulmate is certainly being challenged for us this evening, and I know some of the people in the chat room were like, well, that's not what I heard. So
I know.
Going back to what you were saying about things being vast and expanded, God, what was the question you asked me?
Well, what are some of the ways we'd recognize our soulmate? But you kind of answered that, because I think Matar has expanded our, or stretched our
perception.
Thoughts. Yeah, and because a lot of what I wanted to cover, and I always do this, I always bring guests that really kind of challenge, well, I usually do, I often do, I'll bring guests, challenge our thoughts on that, to bring a new perspective, to kind of, so that we can go inside ourselves and decide as to what is right for us, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Rather than kind of go by institutionalized do's and don'ts, should and shouldn'ts, including New Age thought. The New Age thought of what twin flames are, soulmates are, and all that. So, I think that's a challenging question. And I don't have the answer myself entirely, but I just thought it'd be interesting to get somebody else's point of view on what some of the possibilities are. So.
Yeah, I do believe that we recognize, again, it may not be fully, but you know, there is something inside of us that knows on the soul level. You know what I'm saying? When we do this work on ourselves, when we really start to connect to who we are and part of our soul and learn it and understand it, and like Steve was saying, you know, he had experienced things, then you become more aware, you know, but you really need to go inside and understand, you know, somehow, some way, be open to what's going on, because then I feel that you definitely will recognize, you know, different people and say, oh, okay. And I like the idea that, you know, the soulmates, aren't always, you know, people that, you know, we enjoy being around. There are the ones that challenge us as well. You know, it's,
right.
It's either or, it's a lot and comes in many different, shapes and sizes and people. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, one of the things that Matar said that research backs up, and I don't know if he knows this because he actually channeled all of this information and has asked his guides for this information. So that's where his information, I think, for the most part comes from. But in the New York Times this week, there was an article called "The Happy Marriage is the Me Marriage." And basically what they're saying is, you know how he was saying in different eras, the idea of happy marriage changes based on the era. Well, today it's about, and I thought this was interesting, it's about the partner that helps you to expand and meet your and attain your valued goals as an individual.
That's
so
right.
Self-expansion, which is exactly, which correlates to what Matar and the guides are saying.
Right, so self-starting with me. Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. Thanks for your viewpoint. Thanks all. I really appreciate everybody.
Sure.
You know, offering your viewpoints. Definitely. We've come to the part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions. So you can call in to our line at 724-444-4851. We do have to take the call-ins first. If we run out of call-ins, we will certainly take questions from the chat room. But again, please note that no one will answer when you do call in. When it comes in, you'll be placed on hold automatically. Just relax and listen to the show while you wait. You'll be able to speak to us when you're placed on the air. Please do try to be very, very specific with your questions, as this will enable us to focus and hone in more directly on your question to best answer it. Okay? And if you would, I believe we have a...
Yes, I can hear you.
Great. Are you our caller from Indiana?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. You had a great show. It's very interesting.
Wonderful. Thank you. What is your name?
My name is Evelyn.
Thank you, Evelyn. What is your question? Mm-hmm.
My question is, recently I was told that my boyfriend and I were, I guess, twin flames, but he's not quite acting like a twin flame right now. And my question is, will he get it together and we'll be okay?
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi.
How are you this evening? This is Jackie. I'm going to just jump in and share a little bit with what I'm receiving for you in regards to your question.
Okay.
Will he get it together? I'm feeling he's very scattered now, and I don't want to just say no, he's not going to get it together, but I feel like he's struggling to find himself. In other words, to understand what's going on. I feel like he's been experiencing a lot of changes internally, and he's just not really comprehending what it's all about. It's part of who he is at this point in time that he's starting to evolve. So while it may not be clear to him what's going on, he is having a hard time figuring out what it is. So it will work itself out. One of the things that you could do to, and I know it's hard to be patient, but, you know, to really just be there for him and you know, kind of give him that space. Because I think, you know, he just needs to sort things out. He's not sure what's going on. But from my perspective of what I see deep down in his soul growth, is that there's changes taking place right now. So he's just got to kind of sit with that. But it will turn around. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
The reason for those changes.
You know, I could add something on this too as well. I'm sorry, Jackie.
Go ahead, jump in.
Okay, you know what my feeling is that there's something going on with his work that is a positive. He's trying to apply like the highest skills he has possible to the work at hand that he's working on, and I think this has a lot to do with him feeling, you know, like men, well, women too, but men, you know, they need to feel a sense of adequacy, and their work is very important to them. I feel that he's doing that. That's the kind of work I'm getting, and demonstrate his abilities, then so he can show off, like, or be all he can be for you. And I do see that that's going on here. And in fact, I do see, I get a feeling around March or April. I see him coming towards you, and he's very genuinely honest and sincere, and like you would remember him, and he is willing to give his help and also a commitment. This is the changes about what involves emotional, deep emotional intensity. So I see this to be very positive. And I think that this is not his lack of caring about you or anything else. This is his lack of him being doing his work, whatever his work is or his career, whatever. That is very important for him to feel secure in that before he can feel good about continuing on with your relationship. That's what I get.
So it's not a bad thing, because I don't.
No.
You know, it wouldn't be so bad if he would call me or something. I haven't heard from him, and he's gone through this before. But he was just here for a visit, and everything was fine. And then he got back there because he lives away, and it's like bam, all of a sudden nothing. So I was a little concerned about where he was coming from with this.
He's not with anybody else. That's what I'm getting. If I know that might have been on your mind. I see him really trying to be doing that work all that he can be, so he can later come to you and say, look, I'm really together in my work. This is what I'm getting. And so, if that makes sense. But I see this as a very positive time, actually. I know it's hard for you, but I do feel that he's putting his energy into something that will prove to be why it will be all good for you. No worries.
Well, good. It makes sense because he told me that I was the reason why he wanted to make these changes. So that fits perfectly.
Yeah. Well, good. And so just, you know, just do what you do. Spring's going to be, that whatever I said, the months, I forget. But it comes fast. Things go fast. So I send you well wishes.
Well, he's not going to wait until then to call, is he? He's not going to wait until spring before he gets back in touch, is he?
I don't know about that, but you know what? Try to get through to him if he doesn't. But he's doing this all. It's all good, and it's wonderful. And I think that this will lead to much more of a commitment. It is. This is part of the process that he's doing.
Well, that's good. Thank you for joining us, Evelyn. Best wishes to you.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, and I loved your show again. It's very interesting.
Great.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Exactly.
Tell your friends.
Bye. God bless
yes.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a caller from Texas on the line. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing well. Everything in my life right now is going great. I feel like everything's headed in the right direction, and I'm recently starting to meditate on a regular basis. I'm trying to get back spiritual and connect with my higher self. But my love life, boo, is not anywhere. I'm not seeing anyone, and I have no one in mind. So I was calling to see if anyone could tell me anything about my love life, if it's going to happen anytime soon.
If you don't mind, I'd like to ask your name. What is your name?
Yes, my name is Lauren.
Lauren. Great, Lauren. Thanks.
Lauren, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Lauren, sorry, I had my microphone on mute, so I was reading for you then. To myself. So let me repeat what I was saying.
He has all the information, but you haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, I can channel spirit.
Oh,
but I'm not
okay,
good with technology.
Okay.
Lauren, you know, I always stick to exactly what my guides tell me. I believe that when we work intuitively, we're just acting as channels, and it's, you know, we shouldn't be placing our own judgment upon things. So what I get for you is your love life is fantastic. So when my guides say that, they mean
I'm
that
sorry.
The outlook is fantastic.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear any of that. I had a text come in and it beeped you out. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. No problem. Yeah, well, my guides, Lauren, are saying that the outlook on your love life is fantastic. And that's largely because you're extremely content with your life and yourself. You're confident, you're attractive, you're bright, you've really got everything to offer. And you've taken your time to really get on the right track with your life. And because you do feel complete, that relationship is coming. And I feel a wonderful relationship coming for you. Now, what color is your hair, Lauren? Are you medium brown to darker haired?
Yes.
Yeah. Then, because my guides are showing me an image of a lady with medium brown to darker hair being in a fantastic relationship. I can see you with a partner, and I see marriage as well. So I feel very comfortable saying to you that relationship that's coming your way is the relationship. It's the one that you will settle into for a lifetime. It's a long-term relationship. And the month of April comes up for you as well. April, June come up. I feel as though April is a really good time for you, and you would potentially meet your partner in April of this year. And I also feel that the month of June is very important. Either your partner's birthday will be in the month of June, or you will celebrate the month of June in future in your lives together. So that's what I get for you, an extremely positive outlook. You're really ready for that relationship, and you're feeling great about yourself.
June is my birthday, actually.
Okay.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it. And also, when you say meeting someone in April, does that mean meeting someone completely new or someone in the past that has changed? Or it's somebody like if they're completely new?
Let me ask my guides that question for you. Well, in fact, while I ask that question, let's see what my colleagues say, and I'll douse over that question for you and give you the quick the yes or no answer that I get for you in a moment.
Okay, thanks.
Jackie, you were I believe you wanted to say something to Lauren as well.
Yes, hi, Lauren. Well, one of the, I agree. I'm getting the same feeling that Steve had shared with you. I'm also getting the feeling, and I know you're asking about your relationship, as the work, the focus in the career, I feel like that part is going to come first as far as, you know, what you're doing as far as meditation and connecting more spiritually, because that's going to be huge just in terms of your growth. And what that does is, because you are in such a great place now, I mean, you have this really wonderful energy about you that just, you know, you light up a room, and, you know, the people that are drawn to you, you know, are really there, you know, they're mirroring back to you, you know, how far you've come. So, in other words, you bring a lot of great people into your life because, you know, that is who you are. And so by growing spiritually and taking these next steps that you've been doing, you know, the business part of your life is going to go in another direction, not entirely different direction, but things are going to start to open up. And I feel that that part will be when the partner will be coming in as well. So the way I see this unfolding for you is, you know, the kind of the business part first and then the partner, but it will all be in this year. I don't do great on timing, but I definitely see it sooner than later and within 2011.
Deal.
That's really awesome. Jackie, I actually just started an after-school program with the YMCA, or I'm trying, and maybe you can answer this for me. I just... everything's supposed to be finalized this week, and the coordinator that I've been working with told me that I would find out at the latest yesterday, and I still haven't heard from him. I wrote him an email today and still haven't heard anything. As far as I knew, it was good to go, and then he told me on Tuesday he still had to ask his boss, even though I've had 2 meetings with him, and I sent him my curriculum and the flyer. I thought we were good to go. So do you know if that's going to actually end up working out or not? I feel like it was really, like, good to go.
Yeah, I feel that it is going to work out. It's just these, you know, loose ends that they're kind of tying up and kind of covering their ground. But I don't see anything getting in the way. It's I don't want to say red tape, but it's just one of these other things that they need to take care of. I feel very positive things that are coming your way. So I definitely feel that this is going to be something that's going to happen for you.
Steve, you were going to answer Lauren on that one question. Then we have some other callers on the line. So would you go ahead and answer Lauren?
Absolutely, Alora, thank you. Lauren, I get the answer from my guides that the person you will be with is not somebody from the past.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate all
Thank
your advice.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Best wishes, Lauren.
Have a good night.
We have a...
Thank you.
Good night. You're welcome.
Good night.
We have a caller from New York on the line. New York, are you there? Caller from New York, are
Hello.
You there?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. What is your name?
Christina.
Christina. Thank you, Christina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just want to know, I have issues with love life. Get a clear up.
What is your question about your love life?
Improvement. Is it coming in the near future?
Okay.
Trying to be specific to make it
right, easier. And that is, so you want to know if somebody may come into your life in the near future. That's specific enough.
No, it's currently there. Just will it be improvement? Because I'm having issues with a fiance, so I just want to see if it clears up.
Okay, that's different. So, okay, we're glad you clarified that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have something here, Kristen, I thank you. I have this is Maureen, and you know it looks like this relationship that you from my understanding that you have had going on in the past. It was wonderful. I mean, you've had some wonderful. It's great, and it looks like right now is you have to have remember you have a lot of strength available. Whatever's going on with this relationship, which I think is a concern to you, is why you called, is that you have a lot of strength available, and you need to hold on to, and grab hold of yourself. The thing of it is, indecisiveness and choice, that's something that I think is the objective here. There's a lot of that indecisiveness that's keeping, and I think it may be coming from your partner, and it's keeping, it feels like there's craziness feeling about it, because not being able to make, there's a choice, but then it's just not being able to make the choice, and that's still ahead of you. There's still some things that need to be sorted out. Now, I get a feeling that your relationship has been unconventional or not as traditional as some. And I think that you do want more of a traditional, conventional type of relationship or heading towards that direction in hopes of having that. And I feel it's up to you to make the changes instead of allowing whatever. It's almost like, boundaries, having the boundaries. I think this couldn't be workable. I don't think anybody can change anybody, but right now I see that you're not feeling that you're real fused with him in connection. You're not feeling a real good connection, but I think it's because you've kind of allowed him to be able to frolic along, I guess is the word I'm looking at. But I think he's capable. He's a workable person. I think it's a lot to do with you. And it can be good potential, positive, long time for future relationship, but boundaries that you need to lay down. That's my
very good. Thank you. Anybody else have anything for Christina?
I do. Christina, it's interesting because it was difficult to understand your question at first. And I believe very much that when we have difficulty articulating something, it's because we're not clear about it. And it's interesting that before Alora clarified whether you're asking about a future relationship or whether you're already in a relationship, I doused. I use a crystal sometimes and douse, and it will give me answers based upon the direction that it's moving. And I didn't get a yes or no answer for you when I was asking if you were in a relationship. And when I asked my guides to clarify that, they show me 2 feet, and they're doing that to say you've got 1 foot in the relationship, 1 foot out of the relationship. And so I concur with Maureen in the sense that it is partly you, and I'm not saying that it's your fault that there are difficulties in a relationship. There are two people, but it is about you, in that you need to make your choice. A big part of you is uncomfortable with this relationship and would like to move on, and part of you still has feelings for your partner, and my guides say don't pressure yourself. You don't have to put a deadline on things or force yourself to make a decision. But it is important that you take some time, because you want to make the right decision. But you are also very intuitive, Christina, and you can trust the feelings that you get from your guides as you move forward. I do sense that there's some frustration about money in the relationship. I feel as though there's some imbalance around responsibility with money. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, and that's difficult. I feel that you are doing more than your share, and that is frustrating. And my guides urge you to make it clear that it's about respect. that balance needs to be right, and if it's not right, then there's a lack of respect. What I can tell you is your future is very, very good. There is a wonderful relationship, wonderful home, wonderful career, and everything will really come together for you, but you need to be more assertive in this relationship and work out whether it can be that great relationship for you or not. The month of July comes up for you as well, and February. Those months are going to be important months for you in the future.
Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Christina. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a caller on the line from West Virginia. Hello.
Hi, my name's Christine.
Hi, Christine. Welcome to the show.
Does anyone see anything about me traveling in 2011?
Christine, this is Maureen. I do.
I can't hear anything.
I see. I see that you've earned. You're in a. You're a hard-earned victory. You have just entered January, the beginning, and you certainly deserve a travel, and I feel that there is going to be, and it looks like somebody that you can depend on that will help you. And it's not just a little; it's going to be where you. There's somebody that's going to help you to be able to travel. It's somebody that you know of that maybe before wasn't very dependable because of whatever, they couldn't follow through on it. But yes, I definitely feel travel with you, and you're searching for a deeper meaning. I do feel very much so, absolutely.
Well, last year I wanted to visit my brother, and it never happened. And so I've been thinking about visiting him this year in the springtime.
Yeah, I see other travel as even more so than that. I do. And I think your brother, actually, it's a good time to go visit him. He looks like he's really drained, and he's a workaholic. Yes, I do see travel. And I do feel that you could start making the plans for it, like now.
I already asked him, and he said he'd let me know later in the year. You know, that he said springtime is usually good.
Well, I don't know. Later.
Said something about other travel. What are you picking up on that? Because I don't have any other plans.
No, I know, but I just see much more of the travel, and I see it going to a farther, more places. It's very positive. Now, it's not going to be this month or anything like that, but there's like somebody that's going to be able to help finance some of the travel, like a businessman. I'm not saying somebody that's out, it's on up and up, but it looks very good, like in a farther away, a place you've never been. And it looks like that's around, that looks around right up in the, May and June, farther away travel.
Okay.
But travel is around you. I do, certainly, and I do see traveling. Absolutely. So that's what I get.
Hi, Christine. This is Jackie. I'm also getting travel, but I'm also getting there's a lot of resistance within you. There's fear, and there's something internally that you're holding yourself back because you're like, I want to, but I'm not sure. And it's almost like you're allowing outside circumstances to dictate things that you want to do. So you really need to flip this around and set that intention and be really clear that, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to make travel a priority for me this year. And even if you don't visit your brother, you are going to go somewhere. But I just feel like you need to find this inner strength that you have and to gain this power back that you can do what you want. And not to allow anybody or anything on the outside prevent that from happening. And one little tool you can do for yourself, and I'm hearing this a lot lately, is to create a vision board for yourself. And what that is simply is it's something visually for you to look at that you can cut out different pictures. So let's say you want to go to Hawaii or you want to go to an island or anywhere, and put all of that together and and mount it somewhere in your house so you can look at it. You know, it's about making it real for you. You know, because I just get this feeling that you don't believe it's possible, you know, or you don't know how. You're worried about, how is this going to happen? And that stuff will take care of itself. But it,
well,
it will.
Talking,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
While you were talking, I just got the feeling like if I were to find out about Native American events in the area where my brother lives,
mm-hmm.
that maybe I could attend one of those, like while I visit him. And
of course. Of course, I don't see anything that would be getting in the way of you traveling, except you thinking you can't do it, you know? And unfortunately, we do that to ourselves, you know? It's like, wow, that's all great, oh, but, you know, and it's like, wham, there we go.
My father is still busy. It's a matter of whether or not he has time.
But this is for you, though, Christine. This is for you. It's very important for you, you know, to kind of travel and explore and you know, get out of this routine. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it so much. And he will come around. He will.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Appreciate it. Christine, best of luck to you. Thanks for joining us. We have a caller from Maryland on the line. Welcome. Welcome, caller from Maryland. Are you there? Hello?
Is it that same lady from last time that we couldn't connect with?
I'm not sure. Is our caller from Maryland on the line?
Yes, hello.
Hello, welcome to the show. What's your name?
Rochelle.
Rochelle, thank you. What's your question?
My question is, I am the twin flame, or that type of person that I believe was my twin flame, was gone for a while, and we had a discussion a few days ago, and he kind of expressed himself to me in a kind of roundabout way, but I still feel a little bit, apprehensive about where it could possibly be going, because it just seems like it's been such a journey, but it just seems like it's kind of the beginning of the journey. So I was just, you know, trying to maybe get some more clarification of what you guys think what could happen in the future.
What is it you want from that relationship? What are you looking for, just to clarify?
Ultimately, I would want us to be together. Definitely.
Okay.
I've got information on this, so I'm happy to read.
Okay, great.
Okay. What was your name again? Sorry, I missed your name.
Rochelle.
Rochelle. Rochelle. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi.
Okay, Rochelle, does your partner have medium brown to darker hair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he does.
And your hair is fairer.
No, it's also darker.
Are you as dark as your partner, though, or is your hair lighter than your partner?
Maybe slightly lighter, but not much to, like, really notice.
Okay. Well, when I ask my guides about your relationship, I can see that there's a strong connection and a strong affection, and you're a really great person, Rochelle. You have really high integrity, and you really want everything to be okay with everybody. You're a wonderful person, and you're a real peacemaker. You really like to create peace in your relationships, and you like everybody to be at peace and to get along well. Does that sound right?
Yes, that does.
Okay. And you're also artistic or very creative.
That's true also, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, because I'm just want to say these things just to make sure that my guides are tuning into you correctly. And I, you know, I want to say to you, Rochelle, in fairness to you, you really try to make everything okay. You want everybody to get on well. You want everything to work out well. My guides are just encouraging you to be more assertive as well. Be more assertive about your expectations in the relationship. I do get the feeling from my guides that your partner has been a bit foolish at times, a little bit inconsistent, and not always clear enough about the future. And my guides are encouraging you strongly to really get some of this on the table and state your expectations for the future, as well as understanding your partner's expectations for the future. I feel as though there's a need for more open discussion and for you to really discuss openly what you want in life, and then for you to make a decision based upon what you're hearing.
Right. Okay. I hear that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rochelle, for joining us. Best of luck to you. We have one more caller on the line from New York. Hello. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. What's your name?
Hi. My name is Marie.
Marie?
Yes.
Thank you, Marie. Welcome to the show. What is your question?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I am actually in love with someone that I was in a relationship with, and we still talk, and I would like to know if any of you feel that we will be getting back together again. You know, we just walked away. We never broke up. I don't have any closure on this relationship.
Hi, Marie. This is Jackie.
Hello.
Hi, Jackie. You know, one of the things I'm feeling and getting for you is that, you know, it's interesting you mentioned closure. And, you know, sometimes we need to walk away from something in order to see what it really is and the purpose that it served. So what my guides are saying is for you to just kind of take this time to really go internally and see what it is that you really want and desire. And I hear what you're saying, and I know you're in love with this person, but I just don't feel like he's on the same wavelength right now. I just feel like he's in a whole different place. He wants to come and go as he please and do his thing and not be tied down. I just feel like he's, you know, what they call that, midlife crisis, even if he's not that old. It's just a term that, you know, guys use because they're trying to find themselves. So I feel like he's just going through this phase, but at the same time, you know, allowing that to happen so he can get it out of his system is what I'm trying to say. Is there a potential for you guys to get together? I do feel there's that possibility, but I feel like things kind of need to run its course with him. And by you, you know, kind of being patient and just, you know, living your life and doing things that you love and continue to love, it'll help you grow as well. I just feel like this separation is just part of the growth for both of you. And that's what's happening at this time, at this point in time.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's just going through a phase.
Thank you for joining us, Marie. We wish you the best.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Well, that brings us to the end of yet another amazing show. I want to thank Doug, who cracks the whip behind the scenes and keeps us on track whether we like it or not. We'd like to blab forever, but he keeps us on track. He's our executive producer. And I want to thank all my co-hosts for joining me tonight and really offering all that they've offered. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve. So, Steve, if you would, please tell us what we can look forward to next week.
We can look forward to an interview with John Holland. I'm so excited that we have John with us on the show next week, and he's going to be talking to us about his work as a world-renowned medium and channel, and he's also going to be sharing insight with us about how to connect with spirit and how to develop our our relationship with the spirit world. So it's going to be a fantastic show.
Oh, definitely. I'm looking forward to that one. Well, thank you, Steve. We wish you all a good night. Steve, if you'd like to say good night, we'd be happy to hear from you.
Absolutely. Good night, everybody. It was a wonderful show, Laura, and thank you. It was fascinating. Answered a lot of questions.
Yeah, same here. Maureen, good night. Thank you for being with us.
And thanks. It was a great show, and bless everybody's heart out there and everywhere else.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. It was wonderful and mind-boggling, and certainly something that needs to settle in. So it was an awesome show.
Thank you. Lots of food for thought. Thank you for being with us tonight. We look forward to having you with us again next week. God bless to everyone, and have a great week.